The Gross Profit Podcast is your one-stop shop on the path to profitability. Each week, we share authentic advice on the positive, practical steps you can take to make the company you love more profitable. If you're looking for a positive plan to help you avoid common spending mistakes, control costs, and increase your profits, then this is the place for you. I'm Ryan Cowden, and this week we're joined by James Kennedy and Garrett Carraher. In this episode of the Gross Profit Podcast, James and Garrett share the strategies you need to implement your budgets at your company. In our previous episode, we shared five different types of budgets you can use to understand the finances at your company. While these budgets can do a lot to shape the way people think about your company's finances, they won't do much good if they don't lead to action. Today, we look up from the numbers and look around at the office space. We'll share some of our best advice about what it will take to actually implement these budgets in your company. On this episode, you'll hear why you need buy-in from senior management. The attitudes of senior management will affect the rest of the company, so take the time to make sure that they're all on board with the new plans. Next, we'll discuss the importance of accountability. Clearly identifying what the budgets are and who is accountable up front will go a long way in keeping your managers and their teams on board with the budgets you've drawn up. Then we'll talk about how your budgets should be used to set targets. To get the best performance from your teams, the targets you draw up should be both challenging and attainable. We will also share some of the best practices for reporting this information. Using short reporting periods and moving information quickly will give your managers the time they need to analyze this information and draw up a proper response. And finally, we'll discuss the importance of action. Successful budget meetings should clearly define paths of action so that the issues brought up will be addressed in practice. If you're looking for some help turning your budgets into shared practices at your company, then this is one episode you won't want to miss. There's a lot of actionable advice in this episode, so grab something to write with because you're going to want to take notes. As always, I'll be back on the other side to wrap up any loose ends. So without any further ado, here's our conversation with James and Garrett.
So, hello, it's James Kennedy here from ProcurementExpress.com, where we help hundreds of companies safely spend billions of dollars each year. I'm joined once again by the secret CFO, Garrett. How are you on this fine Sunday morning?
Great, James. Good to talk to you, as always. You know, very successful now. A very interesting topic today. We're going to talk about successful budgeting. I can't wait to speak about this. I know it's part two of our series. It should be very, very exciting and very useful for our listeners.
Well, would you believe it if I told you that we had a huge response from part one last week, emails and text messages about the five types of budgeting, so people can go back and revert to that?
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me at all. It was very exciting, and people should definitely listen back to it to understand, because it is part of a series. You should always listen back to the start of the series and follow it through.
Part two is going to be the interesting bit, though. We're really going to get into the nuts and bolts of, you've gone through the work of creating your fancy static or zero-based or rolling or incremental or flex budget. It's in a beautiful spreadsheet where everything's perfect and nothing ever goes wrong. And next thing, it has to hit the reality of the world. So you've implemented a ton of these budgets, Garrett. What's your advice for getting your spreadsheet implemented, if only the people would do what they were told to do?
Exactly, yeah. Well, I have here about seven tips I have that I've thought up basically on how to do a successful budget. So these are the ones that you need to really think about before you go off and actually do your budget. Because I think in part three next week, we can definitely go through an actual budget. We can go through some numbers, or we can have a look at the detail. And actually, I'll have a spreadsheet download for people who want to actually download a budget template and start using that themselves for their own budgets. But in this one, I'd like to speak about, you know, what do you need to do? How do you need to prepare for it to make sure your budget is going to be successful? Because in so many cases, a budget gets done and then no one ever looks at it again. So sad. So we need to make sure it is something that people are going to look at and people are really going to use it and deliver it going forward. So the first thing is you need, and this is super key in a lot of things, James, is you need to have a buy-in from senior management, and they must take the budgeting process seriously, you know. So they need to help you with the actually lining up the people to sit down with you to do the budget. Now, in some smaller businesses, it's quite easy. But in a bigger multinational business, you can get people who really do no work on a daily and yearly basis. And it's very hard to get them to engage in this kind of process. They really don't care. They're not, you know, if you're there as the accountant, they're not really accountable to you and they just don't care. And it's very hard to get them in.
Well, the leverage point, I'd say, for the management is, I mean, you have to sell it to them, right? And this is key, really. If you don't have the budget, you won't be able to get ahead of your spending decisions. You won't have a target. I guess we're all on board with having targets. I mean, last week we talked about the budgets actually are more like targets in that, so they have to be achieved in order for the company to be successful. So if you maybe actually, you can get buy-in more if you say, well, these are really targets for the success of the company. Budgets, I think something about the word people, I guess, is constrictive, or they don't, maybe they think they're going to be controlled or something. But if you set a target, that's more like aspirational. So yeah.
That's a very good point, James. Yeah, a target can be more aspirational and it's something that people want to hit. They want to hit a target, whereas a budget might feel constraining and usually means you can't spend money. And that's the way people kind of think about it. So in this case, when you're initially starting off the budget, you need to get that buy-in from the senior management. You can say, this is a target. We want to hit this target. Our budget, our target for our profit is this number, and they want to hit it. They want to get their money and get their pay rise or whatever. So they're going to be very, and going to keep their jobs. So they're going to be incentivized to deliver that. And importantly, that kind of attitude will cascade down through the rest of the business. So if the MD comes out and says, you know, the finance are working on our budgets, which are our targets for next year, you know, everyone has to take this seriously. It is critical we hit these numbers, engage with these people, and make sure you get numbers in that are credible and make sense. And once you do that, once the senior management comes out like that, even with anything, so you know yourself, with any kind of change or implementation or new rules or anything in the business, if the MD throws his weight behind it, it can have a huge effect and everyone takes it much more seriously. So buy-in from super management is super important. Our second point then is the famous accountability. So you really have to have clear responsibilities for what each manager is responsible for, which department, which area, which sector, which products, you know, which employees, what are they delivering? Because this is where the lazy manager can hide in the ambiguity, in stuff that's gray. It's not black or white, you know. Was I really responsible for the sales of that product? I don't think so. Was it not Billy Bob down the corner, or, you know, down the corridor in the office down there? I think that was his baby. It wasn't mine. Why is it in my budget? Why is it got to do with me? Take it out. Move it elsewhere. That employee, he's not my cost, you know. He should be costed elsewhere. He's a central cost. That's the word I always hear. And I love it. I laugh at it. I love to hear it. You know, it's so funny. You know, everyone would put everything in central costs. There is a magical bucket called central costs where everyone should be, except for one fella who sells stuff. You know, everyone else is in hidden away in central costs. They don't want the cost, you know. So the smart manager, you know, this is a tip for the smart managers out there who already know this probably, is to keep your budgeted target as low as possible so you can hit it in your sales and then get as rid of many costs as you can. So if there's any kind of cost in there that's halfway, you know, billable to another department, so you might say, you know, I have an employee here. He does work for my department, but actually, doesn't he do a bit of work for the other fella down there in the ops department down there? Doesn't he do a bit of work for that fella or for that region, for the south region of the US? Doesn't he do a bit of work for that? I think 50% of his cost should be billed in there as well, you know? So,
and what's your policy there? Do you just say, nope, that's it, one person, one department? Or do you start allocating 50 people, 50% and 20% here or there?
I allocate people. And the reason I allocate people is the most important thing, as we'll probably come to one of our later points, is that costs are in the right place is the most important thing, but you must have buy-in from the managers. So if you're hitting the manager with a cost that's not his cost, he's immediately, every meeting you go to, he's going to say to you, or she's going to say to you, yeah, when I'm behind 5%, but every meeting, but you've costed in here, Billy Bob. Billy Bob only works 50% of the time for me. He spends 50% of his time in sales. Why have you put him in here? He's not to do with ops. He's not in ops. He shouldn't be in here. If I take that out, I'm only 2% behind. And that's what they'll constantly do, constantly try and, you know, obfuscate, I think is the word, is it? And try and hide and try and move it around and have the discussion about something else. They don't want to discuss the real problem. As much time as they can spend discussing why the numbers are wrong, it means less time discussing why they haven't done their job. It's as simple as that.
So you just get them to buy in at the beginning. He's 100% your cost. Even if he works for someone else, that's just the way it is. You got to work with that.
Well, what you want to do is you want to get the cost in the right place. So if someone is 50% here and 50% there, you need to reflect that in the budget. But then once that's done, that's it. You know,
right.
So you say,
yeah,
move on. It's done. Let's move on. So the next step, the next point we need to have a successful budget is the targets need to be challenging, but they need to be achievable. So there's no point in getting your sales team, you need to hit 100% growth next year or in month one. It's just rubbish. They're not, unless you're on Facebook, they're not going to do it. So you need to have something that's achievable that incentivizes them to go for that target. But if they don't hit it, then they really should have hit it. And you can say, well, look, why didn't you hit it? Explain to me in detail why you didn't hit that number. Like, that number was achievable. We both know it's achievable, you know? Why didn't you hit it?
Okay, very good. So it's got to be something that's like challenging. This is where you maybe come in with your 5% growth or whatever your target is, but something that's believable. If it's not believable, no one's going to try in the first place.
Exactly. And the secret that I always use, James, is a good secret now from the secret CFO, is I always get them to come up with, think they come up with the number.
Right.
So I sit down with them and then run through the numbers. And then I would say to them very clearly and show them on a spreadsheet, if I take your number of people by your selling price per person, say this is a service business, if I take your number of people by your selling price per person, by the utilization, the number of hours to work in a month, multiply that out, like that number is coming up to that person's going to bring in revenue of 200,000 in the year. Isn't that right? And they go, yeah. I go, well, if I do that for all your people and add it all up, your revenue for the year is going to be 2.8 million. Does that make sense? You can see it there. It's adding up there, isn't it? And I go, yeah. You say, you're happy with the utilization? Yeah. You're happy with the sales number? Yeah. You happy with everything there? Yep. Well, I think that's your number then. That's the number for the year is 2.8 million. And that's it. And they buy into it then and they go off and they can understand where the numbers came from, you know? You have to be good at your job, James. Well, there's no point in sitting down in a spreadsheet and typing in 2.8 million. There's your number. Hide it. You know, like that's just not credible. And it shows you don't know what you're doing. Whereas if you can build up the number from a base and work it through with them, and it does make sense, you know.
That's pretty powerful, yeah.
It is powerful. It is. And they really can't shy away from it, you know. And obviously you don't want to go the other way. If your target is too low as well, that's like both of those really overall have demotivating effect, you know. So that would mean like if your target's too high, I'm not going to hit that. I'm missing it every month. I'm not going to bother. Don't care, right?
Yeah.
If target's too low, you're hitting it every month. You're out in the golf course. You don't care. I'm going to another sales meeting to hit this challenging target, James. Click as he hits the ball down the fairway, you know, and you go, what the hell? So that's the third point. It has to be achievable. Point number four, and I think this is something that maybe we can all reflect on in our businesses, is that we need good reporting. You really need good reporting. So you need to get targeted reporting that will give good information back to the managers and in a timely way, quickly, and is accurate, you know? And that will allow them to get the feedback and make the adjustments as necessary. Otherwise...
When you say that, does that mean a morning email from Garrett with where the budgets are for that day, or how do you achieve that?
So the way I do it is actually in the next point. So I bring that into this point as well. So you need to have short reporting periods, you know. So usually the way we do it, I think most businesses do it, it's usually about a month. So there's no point in going 6 months down the line, looking at your actuals versus your budget and going, you're off here by, you know, 300,000. And they go, well, I'm not going to make that up in 6 months. That's the end of that, you know. So each month, you know, a period of time is usually maybe calendar month, or some people do 4, 4, 5, 4 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks, something like that. But usually you can have a calendar month and you need to get you pick a calendar month, you get your accounts done as quick as you can after a month end, usually within 3 to 6 days. And then you sit down with the managers, make sure they're go through the numbers, to understand the numbers. And then I think an important thing to do is get the managers to present the numbers to the MD or to the senior management team. And they come in and say, here's my numbers. And then the MD gets to question them in like an objective way. You know, I think that's important to have that kind of split there. You know, the MD is not making up the numbers with the managers. He's separate or she's separate, and they're looking at the numbers, and then they're allowed then to delve into them and make sure that their managers understand the numbers. So I wouldn't, so in your example there, would you do something every day? No, that'd be bonkers. But maybe for the, you know, in your case, you might have someone who's doing, who's saying there's a number of calls that need to be done a day, or a number of leads that need to be followed up, or the number of people that need to be signed up in a week. And that would be super useful to report that to your sales call team and say, you know, are you making these calls? You're not doing enough calls. You know, we know that we have to do 100 calls a day. 100 calls gives us so many lead, gives us so many signups, gives us da-da-da. So that would be useful in that context. But when we look at budgeting and accounts, it's a much kind of higher level where you're looking at an overall thing. So it's once a month is usually enough.
Very good. Okay. So I can see that. And of course, I should mention, if you're using a tool like procurementexpress.com, you can get real-time budgets, and you can get budget, up-to-date budget information every time you make a purchase in advance of the purchase. Before you use a budget, you're able to see what's left there. So that's helpful. Might as well get that plug in since it's germane, I think. Okay, what have you got? What's the final point, Jared?
Yeah, two more. And so the next point then is I think I kind of covered there as well. So we're talking about reporting over these three points. So we talk about target reporting. So it's for the managers, and it covers off what's relevant to them. We're talking about short periods. So we do it every month and we follow it up. And then finally, we're talking about timely reporting. So we need to get the variance analysis and all the variance reports to the managers as quick as we can after the end of that month. So again, we're not talking about, you know, 3 weeks in, we're getting a variance analysis back to the manager saying what's going on. You know, we're talking more like 3 to 4 days, 3 to 5 days, something like that. You know, you're saying you're getting back to the manager. So the end of the month is the end of September, and maybe by the 4th to 5th of October, the managers are getting a report into their hands to tell them how they're doing and all of variance analysis. And then that gives them a day or two to analyze and think about that and come back to accounts and really go through it. And then they finally, maybe a day or two after that, they report that then to their own MD and say, or the MD would probably get the numbers anyway from the finance person or department, but the MD can call that up then with the, call that up with the managers and run through that with them. And the manager should be able to give them good feedback on where they've gone right or where they've gone wrong. And finally, then the last point we have of our 7 budgeting tips for successful budgeting is to all this really leads to action. And that's what we always say. Everything must lead to action. So we do our budget, we compare it to our actuals. The successful budgeting means that people take action based on the variances. Did they actually make a change? So there's no point in saying that last month our team have done too much in overtime and they're not doing enough sales. Like, you need to make an action on that. You need to go into your sales team and either say, you know, there's no more overtime, or the overtime needs to deliver sales, or why is there so much overtime? What's going on? Why is this? Understand it in depth. Because the numbers, again, are just giving you information and you need to make an action on the information. So the action in that case might be, we're short of staff. Some fella's gone sick all month. And maybe he's taking the Michael, and it's time to move him on to a different place and a happier location for himself, which is not this business. And we will hire in someone else who will make, you know, who will deliver on our sales and get us back on track, reduce overtime, reduce our costs, and increase our sales, you know. So that's our 7 tips there. And we might stick a link in or something to those 7 tips onto a website where they can have a look at that.
Yeah, I think so. I'll ask the team to put this into a blog post for us, because there's good stuff here. And we'll link that up in the podcast as well.
Cool. Good stuff.
So, Garrett, that's fantastic. More practical advice from the secret CFO. You cannot buy this advice. You cannot buy it. It's priceless. And you've reinvigorated me and enthused me about going back and getting my budget implemented. So thanks for that, Garrett.
No worries. Thanks, James. Talk to you again soon.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, folks, there you have it. That wraps up our conversation with James and Garrett. They shared a ton of valuable insights and advice today on how to put your budgets into practice. We also shared some tools and resources, which will all be linked up in the show notes. Don't forget to click on one of those links to get a free chapter from the book Profit Leaks by James Kennedy and Garrett Carher. We hope you enjoyed our conversation. please consider subscribing, sharing with a friend, or leaving us a review in your favorite podcast directory. Until next time, best of luck in all that you do, and we'll look forward to seeing you on the next episode of the Gross Profit Podcast.